Hi, everybody. This is Heather Poduska, and we are going to be talking today about crafting your compelling personal story. And then we're going to be covering your unique brand point of view, both of which are really critical pieces to developing a powerful platform for your brand, for magnetizing your audience, and really differentiating yourself out in the marketplace. So first, we're going to start with your brand story. Now, for some people, the idea of crafting a personal story to tell something in their business may feel a little strange, a little out of place, but the fact is people learn and connect most through narrative. That's why they do word problems in third grade math. Like, people like stories, and being able to communicate your own unique story during your signature talk, when you're giving your emails, when you're doing your marketing and your about page on your website, it's probably one of the most important and powerful tools that you'll have at your disposal to win over your audience. When you tell an authentic and compelling story to your audience, you create this priceless know, like, and trust factor that's really needed to sell. Your story creates a bond. It helps your audience identify with you, and it helps them relive their own story, and it opens them up emotionally, which is exactly where you want them to be. If people are stuck in their heads in relationship to you, they're not going to buy from you. You have to be able to move them emotionally. And when you do move them, you become more human in their eyes. You really create that stickiness, that deeper connection. And suddenly, you're not just some amazing expert. You're a real-life person they can connect with. You create really powerful empathy with your audience. By telling your story, you're also demonstrating that you found a solution that turned everything around for you. And you're letting your audience know that, and that it's possible for them to turn around whatever situation they are currently in. And that is extremely powerful. We've all been there. You know, when you pick up a story and you read something that someone's been through, and you're like, man, if they can do it, I can do it. And it really is this inspirational, powerful selling tool as well. So when you tell your story, you start to position yourself as the bridge from the problem your audience is struggling with to the solution you're going to share with them through your products and services, through your speaking, maybe through a talk that you're giving. Nailing your story can dramatically impact your success. And I will tell you a story right now of a client that I had not too long ago that was working on her story, and she actually had a very deep and powerful personal story, and she was a little bit nervous about sharing it, and we worked together to get her comfortable and confident about it. And this is somebody who's an expert at what they do. They had been in their business for a while. They were blogging and emailing and doing interviews and all kinds of things to get their visibility up. And they weren't getting very much traction. And we worked on this personal story, and she got comfortable enough to really go deep and tell her story. And she did it to her list to start with in an email. And she wrote one email and told her story. And that was the best month she'd ever had in her business. She made $7,800 just from that one email. So what I'm telling you absolutely works. It is very, very powerful. So the first question that usually comes up is, what story do I choose? You want your story to be aligned with your business. The most important thing to remember is that the purpose of your marketing is to help people buy from you, to sell from you. We're in business to make money. This isn't a charity. It's a business. So we want to pick stories that are going to help you sell. Otherwise, you're just standing there being nice. And that's wonderful, but you want to make money as well. So the number one consideration in what story to choose is the one that's aligned with your current business model. Your story doesn't necessarily have to be about your business, but it should definitely, definitely connect to be about the why you're in business. For example, a story about your business might be that you were once very, very overweight and you lost 150 pounds and now you're a health coach. A story about why you're in business might be when you were little, you never had enough food on the table and you swore to yourself that you would never let your kids go hungry. But you're not a health coach. Instead, you're a really successful real estate agent who has figured out a secret formula to selling high-end properties with ease. So you can see there's a difference, one that's directly connected to what you're doing now in terms of your exact business, and the other one is a motivational story about why you push yourself, why you've created what you've done. It's about the why behind your business. It's why you're in business, but not necessarily directly related to your industry. However, you do want your story to align with your business and, better yet, with the offers that you have as much as possible. So that's really the first criteria. You want alignment in your business model. You want alignment. That's why we start with the vision, the purpose, the mission, and it's a building process, because when it is aligned, everything is so much easier, and it's easier to sell, and you reduce overwhelm, which is a huge problem for so many people. So the story that you tell should answer why you're in business and why you care. It doesn't have to necessarily be about you. It can be about someone else you care about or some event or situation that impacted you greatly. So I sometimes tell the story, and you may have heard me tell it recently, of how the Boston Marathon bombings really impacted me. So that didn't actually happen personally to me. I was not at the finish line, but I knew people who were there. So that's an example of a story about somebody I know. However, just remember, even if your story isn't on the surface about you, it really still is, because it's about how it made you feel and how it impacted the life, your life, or the path of your business. So even though I wasn't at the marathon bombing location, it still is about me, because it's about how I feel about that and how that impacted my life and my business. Okay, so the second consideration is passion. You want your story to be truly, truly compelling, and the best way for that to happen is if you are passionate about your topic. And I know that's really not even an issue if you're an entrepreneur, because you're passionate about what you do. But in your talk, your energy will infuse your story with emotion, and that's extremely engaging for your audience. So think about what it is within your life or business that you are most passionate about. Think about your brand. Think about your clients. Think about what you do. For example, when I was at a really young age, I learned about image and the importance of image. I was in fifth grade, and we had a leadership conference at my school, and I had been at the school since kindergarten, and I was a leader in my class. I always, you know, did well in school, and I always raised my hand, and a lot of people followed me. And the year that we had this leadership conference, a new girl moved into my school, and her name was Chris. And Chris was beautiful. She was this petite little girl, long blonde hair, big, big blue doughy eyes. And I was 5'7" in fifth grade, and about 150 pounds with pimples. So I wasn't exactly the most beautiful girl in class. And lo and behold, Chris won a spot to this leadership conference. She was voted to go, and I was not. So you can see that there's a connection there for me around image and how I saw firsthand how image impacts your chances at success. And that's something that I believe strongly and I'm passionate about. It's not the only thing, but it definitely is something that I have feelings about, and it's connected to personal experience. Isn't it funny how those childhood experiences are often the ones that are the stickiest? So don't be afraid to go back and look at your childhood and see where these stories come from. So you want to, first of all, think about the offers in your business, what aligns with what you're selling, but then make it real and passionate and deeply emotional for you. So that will read to the audience. Okay, the next thing to consider when you're thinking about your story is the journey your story took you on. If you've read about Greek mythology, you know about the hero's journey. Or if you've ever watched a single Disney movie, the formula goes something like this. The character is going about their daily life when something changes, either something externally or something internally shifts, and the hero experiences a struggle or a challenge or an obstacle to overcome. The hero then has to commit to change. They have to take action or change, and then he or she's going to experience something new or better and improved or a new situation in their life. So the basic formula is baseline. There's the baseline of what is when you first come onto the scene. Then there's a challenge or a catalyst. There's a struggle. Then there's learning. And then there's committing to change. And then the reward. So baseline, challenge or struggle, learning something new, committing to change, and the reward. So here's an example. You might be married for many years and you start to feel a disconnect from your spouse. So that's the status quo, the baseline. You've been there for a long time, but then there's a shift. You start to have this disconnection. He worked long hours and you were busy with the kids, and suddenly what started as a great romance turned into two ships passing in the night. And you knew deep, deep down that if something didn't change, you weren't going to make it as a couple. Okay, so there's a challenge. There's that struggle. So you started to get help. Okay, here's where the learning comes in. You sought out counseling. You learned simple techniques that improved your communication, and things started to change. Eventually, you found your way back to each other, and your relationship got stronger than ever. Now, 20 years later, you are still going strong, and because you felt so blessed to save your marriage, you felt compelled to learn everything you could to help other couples. And now, from what you've learned, you teach spouses how to prioritize their love, and since then, you've helped over 500 couples successfully save their marriages. So you can see that that was a story about your journey, the baseline, the struggle. Okay, I learned something new, I committed to change, and the reward was a happy marriage. And now I'm sharing that story with my audience so that they can have happy marriages as well. So for your hero's journey, think about, where were you before you started your business? What were you doing? What were you struggling with? What was happening in your life or in your business, and what were you feeling at the time? Next, what was your turning point? Was there a catalyst? Did something happen? Did someone get sick? Did someone move? Did a new or interesting client come into your life? Did something change in your health? What happened? What was the catalyst? And then what needed to change because of that? So maybe you were living a certain lifestyle or were on a certain path, and then there was this hiccup or this moment of realization that something had to change. So I can tell you from my experience, when I was singing, I wasn't having the kind of success that I wanted to have. And I tell this story often when I'm giving my talks, that I remember very vividly sitting on the stage during a production of Magic Flute at Boston Lyric Opera. And I was in the professional ensemble, and the soprano was singing, and the orchestra was playing. There were probably like 1,500 people in the audience, and I was on stage during the show. And at that moment, I decided it would be a good idea to lean over and whisper something to my colleague. Now, my back was to the audience, so nobody saw me do it. But I knew I had done it, and it was highly unprofessional. And I had always been uber professional, like super professional, and I always prided myself on that. And it was that moment, in that instant, that I knew that it was time for me to move on, because I'd become bitter and apathetic about what I was doing. And it wasn't a huge thing, you know, like I didn't, you know, fall off the stage or something. It was just that moment of recognition of, oh my God, what did I just do? I never would have done that before. Never. What does this mean? Something's got to change. So you see where I'm taking you on this path. So that was a huge, tiny moment, but a big catalyst for me. And you need those in your story. So what needed to change? What did you have to learn or unlearn? For me, I had to learn a whole new career path, right? What would have been the cost of staying the same? So for me, the thing that I wanted to get out was because I didn't want to become bitter. I didn't want to lose my passion and love for singing and the stage and opera because I wasn't having the kind of success I wanted. I wanted to keep that feeling, and I didn't want to lose that. So that was part of it for me. And then what actions did you take? And this is important because it leads to the process you may have developed for your offer. So if you're a health coach and you changed your health and you went through a process of eliminating wheat and dairy and sugar, and then you started exercising, and then you started doing yoga and Reiki, and then you got more sleep, and you created this process to those actions, that might be the offer that you're making at the end, right? So it might be related directly to what you're selling. That's important. What actions did you take? And then What was the result? How did this change your life or business? How did it change the way you felt emotionally, physically, spiritually? How did your situation change? How did your relationships change? How did your finances change? How did the results affect those around you? And how will it affect your future? Now, this set of questions is gold. This is super, super important because I want you to really hear this. Your clients are not buying your process. They're buying the results. So you really want to be clear on what the possible results are for people who follow your process. How did your business or your life change? How did you change emotionally? So for wow, I'm really, really in my superpower. I know that I can make money doing this. I know that I can impact other people's lives. I feel smart. I feel useful. So those are some ways that I felt. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. It might be financial. Okay, now I'm making money as an entrepreneur. I was a struggling singer, but now I'm making money in my business. So that's what you want to communicate to your audience because that's what's possible for them and that's what they're going to buy. Okay. What if you get stuck? I know it's a lot to think about, but just keep working the steps. You have the worksheets that for this module, and think about the stories that relate to your business. What are you most passionate about doing? What are you most passionate about in your business? Try to follow the feelings. Follow the feelings in your life, in your stories, because, again, the feeling is what you want people to have. People buy with their hearts. They don't buy with their heads as much. And you want to keep them in that heart space, either in their pain or in their desire, right? I mean, if you see something on TV and you really, really want it, it's not because your head is saying, I should get that. It's because you really, really want it, right? If it's February in Boston and it's 20 below zero and I see a picture of Aruba on TV, I'm like, oh, I really want that. I'm not thinking. I'm feeling like I'm putting myself in that warm space. Okay. So another thing you can think about is where in your life have you transformed? How did you transform? Why did you transform? And how do those things relate to your offers? Now, an exercise you can do to get more clarity is, if you're stuck, to break down your life into 5 or 10 year chunks. What was happening in your life when you were a kid? I told you the story about Chris and the leadership conference and how that impacted me. So that I was probably only 10 years old when that happened. Now, my story from sitting on the Boston Lyric Opera stage was probably when I was, like, 33 or something like that. So look at your life in chunks. That's a really powerful place to look because these memories often influence our whole life path. And it you don't even know it until you're looking back. So it's really powerful. And, just as a human being, it's a really great exercise to do. But you might find that you have more than one story. If you're looking at your life when you're a teenager or in college or as a young adult or parent or middle age or entering retirement, when you look at those different sections of your life, different things are going to pop out. And the cool thing about it is if you do have more than one story that pop out at you, you can start to see threads of how they're connected. And when you do that, then you'll have lots of different stories to tell for your marketing because you'll see the threads and how they connect. But you want to try to get it down to sort of your main story. And the reason for that is you want to build memory and stickiness. You want to become known for something. So if you think about someone famous like Oprah Winfrey, we all know her story. She was a poor girl in Mississippi. And she went to Chicago, she got her job on the news there, she didn't think she wanted to do news, she wanted to talk to people, blah, blah, blah. We've heard that story 1,000 times. But we know it, and we know her, and we know that story. And it's the same for other people. When you know their story, or maybe you know Marie Forleo, she was a dance instructor, and then she worked on the New York Stock Exchange floor, and then she became an entrepreneur who does a lot of dancing in her videos. But we know the story, and we want to know your story so that we can tell the story to someone else so that we feel like we know you, and that really builds that memory, that stickiness, and visibility for you and your audience. Okay, one last caveat about the story. Deep breath. The more authentic and honest you are, the greater the connection to your audience. And, you know, I told you the story at the very beginning about my client who had her $7,800 email. It took a little bit of work to get to the place of feeling comfortable to tell that story because it was a really vulnerable, deep story. It was very personal. And I'm not saying that you have to tell your most private stories. And don't. If that's not what you want and that's not comfortable for you, don't do that. But I will say the more authentic and honest you are, the more open you are, the more vulnerable you are, the greater the connection you're going to have to your audience. I would never encourage anyone to overshare or share something embarrassing or too personal. That's going to make you feel overexposed, and it's going to make your audience uncomfortable as well if you're not comfortable. This is a personal choice based on both your brand and your level of personal development and comfort. You must tell a story that's in your own truth and at your own level of openness. And also, as always, your story should as much as possible lead the listener to your business and your offer. You're not sharing just to share, right? You're in business. And I want to keep saying that you're in business, you're in business, you're in business to make money and hopefully a lot of money. I love money and I hope you love money because of all the wonderful things it can do in your life. So you want to be sharing, you want to be giving value, you want to be touching people's hearts, you want to give them hope and inspiration, but you also want money and you want them to be buying from you, not just to fill your pockets, but because if people want the biggest transformation in their lives, they're going to get it by signing up to work with you. Nobody loses 50 pounds by hearing someone talk or reading an email. You need to do the work, and you need to have support and accountability. So getting people to buy from you is giving them the biggest, best transformation that they want. So I want you to just keep thinking about that when you're sharing your story. It's about being open, being honest, being vulnerable, connecting it to your passion, connecting it to your real beliefs in your life path, but also connecting it to your business and how that business can provide change, value, and transformation to your audience. And then you want to share it over and over and over and over again until you are sick of telling your story, because that's what's going to build that stickiness. Okay, so that was story. You have the template to work on with the prompts and the questions. You just learned about how to create something that's aligned with your business, that you feel passionately about, and how to structure it using the hero's journey of struggle, catalyst, and transformation. Now we're going to shift gears and talk about point of view. And this is a little bit similar to what the first thing we worked on, a vision, purpose, mission. But I wanted to put it after story because point of view is really based on your life experience. And getting in touch with your story helps you understand what your points of view are. So I told you one of my points of view, which is image matters. And that's based on that story, or one of the stories from when I was in fifth grade, from the leadership conference. So that's why I put it here. So let's talk about what a point of view is. Your point of view is your stake in the ground. It's what your deepest, most strongly held beliefs are about life and business. Think about what you feel passionately about, your worldviews, what makes you angry, sad, frustrated, or even super excited, because this is going to be the foundation for your brand identity. Now, it's slightly different from what we talked about before of your vision or your purpose, because it's not necessarily action-based. It's belief-based. It's an axiom. So you could have a point of view that money is the root of all evil, right? That's not necessarily an action. That's a belief. Money is the root of all evil. It's not a great belief, but it is a belief. So your point of view is really your belief system. Now, why do you want this point of view? Because when you have a strong point of view, you stand out as a brand. You become unique. You get recognized. It helps you organize your thoughts and structure your services so that you're easily understood. Your brand point of views are really important and useful for your marketing and for your content calendars and for the basis of your signature talks. Now, the thing about branding is that you are not trying to be liked by everybody. If you have a strong brand, you should actually repel people. not everybody, right? You want to repel people who don't resonate with you, and you want to attract people who do resonate with you. And one of the best ways to start doing that and standing out is to talk about your beliefs and having a strong point of view. I'm going to give you some points of view of people who have really strong brands, and you're going to see that they are very polarizing. Now, if I say Lady Gaga, that is a strong brand, baby. Now, people love her. They travel all over the world to hear her. She has a little tribe of monsters. But she also wore a meat dress to the Grammys. Not, that's not my cup of tea. I totally respect her. I think she's a great artist, but I probably wouldn't buy a ticket to her concert. But Lady Gaga doesn't care that I don't buy a ticket to her concert because there are people who are spending a lot of money to go to her concert. And that's what a strong brand does. It really magnetizes the audience. And the reason it's so important is because when you do that, when you really have a strong point of view, you save so much money, time, and energy in your business because you're not marketing to everybody. You're marketing to your ideal clients. And guess what? Those are the people that are going to spend money with you. So you really want to market specifically to them. And we're going to be talking about target audience later. But part of attracting your target audience is having a strong point of view. So not only does it make you stand out, it makes it easier for your marketing because you know what you're going to talk about. You know what you have to say. And if you have points of view, because you may have more than one, I mean, hopefully you kind of have that basic one, right? But if you have more than one point of view or themes to your point of view, you can create whole content calendars around it. So if I said image matters, that's a basic foundational point of view for me, I might make a whole content calendar around image, about what it means to have a professional image, about what happens when you don't have a professional image, of how image impacts your emotions, around 10 concepts you need to have in place to have an on-brand image. So all of these things could be around the importance of image. So that could fill out your content calendar. And then the next thing is that having a strong point of view sets the basis for a killer signature talk. So if I have a point of view that image matters, all of those things I just said about what happens when you don't have a professional image, how to create a professional image, the psyche of having a great image, what it does to you, what it does to your emotions, what it does to your ability to command high fees, how to do that, all of those points could be part of a talk. So you can see how important these points of view are. So how are you going to find out what your point of view is? Well, it's a lot of the same work that we did at the beginning. Think about what angers you, what makes you sad, what do you feel passionately about, how does that relate to your business, why. This is the beginning of identifying your brand voice. So what do you stand for? What is the reason you're in business? Why do you care about sharing your message with the audience? What impact are you hoping to make? Why is it important? And this is where you start to find your lane to differentiate yourself. Now, one thing I want to tell you is a really good friend of mine told me this, and I love this quote. There are no new messages, only new messengers. So a reason I'm saying that is I don't want you to worry that your point of view isn't unique. Because it may not be unique. Like, you may believe that if you're a health coach that clean eating is the path to health. So, okay, like how many health coaches, how many health experts are there in the world? Thousands, maybe millions. So that's not unique. But what is unique is you and why you believe that. What your experience is, what your relationship to that point of view is, just like I told you with my relationship to Chris, with the big doe blue eyes and the long blonde hair. So don't worry if your point of view isn't pithy or, you know, clever. It doesn't have to be. It just has to be authentic to you. So here are a couple of examples to get you started. So one of my point of views, when you have a voice, you have everything. When you have your voice, you have everything, right? So that is definitely, definitely, definitely a point of view that I have. When you have ownership of your authentic voice, you have everything that you need to succeed. So that's an example. Or when you know who you are at your core, you can express that. You can do anything. Okay. A couple of other ones. I told you image absolutely matters. Here's another one. The more you love yourself, the more success you'll have in business. Another point of view, great brands are built from the inside out, not from the outside in. So those are some of mine. But a point of view could be that just simple things like you should save more money than you spend. That's a point of view. Or anything, any belief that you have about something specific. And if it's related to your business, that's great. So it's a world view. It's a world view. Like it could be a pet peeve that you have. Right? Anything really that you feel very strongly about is your point of view. Okay, so this is your turn. What makes you feel passionate, angry, excited? What do you believe about the world at whole, at large? I believe, and that's a good way to start your point of view. Or I could say another point of view is perception is everything. Another point of view is performance trumps content. Like you could have the best content in the world, but if you don't know how to perform it, it won't be as great. Like you could not have as great content, but if you perform it well, you'll still be successful. And it, you know, I also want to say one last thing about point of view. It only matters if it's true for you. I'm not, you know, it doesn't make you a good or bad person. I'm just saying not everybody is going to believe what you believe, and that's what it is. It's a belief. So you may not believe that performance trumps content. But I can believe that, and that's what makes my point of view strong. It's polarizing. So I hope that's helpful. Those are the things that we're covering today. So you have how to craft your brand story and how to really dig in and go back and look at your brand story. Look at those 5 and 10 year chunks and see what pops to mind, like how your worldview was formed. And that's really going to help you with your point of view. Both of these things are super important for magnetizing your audience and helping you stand out and create a powerful, profitable brand. I hope that was helpful. Okay, let's take questions if there are any. Hold on 1 second. Okay, ladies, any questions?
Okay, Jen, you get to go first.
No. I always have to, like, listen and reread what I wrote. So
I said I was being fair since I went first yesterday.
I was just thinking a lot about when you were talking about your point of view and your belief system. And one of the things I wrote down was when you come from that place of integrity, if you come from that place of truth within you, then you will have the life that you want. Mm. And it is very difficult. Even from a very young age, people are told not to do things or do them differently than what their body or their gut is telling them to do. Mm. And I find that so much so if you watch a child, right, and they go up the slide or they go across the top of the monkey bars like my kids always did, and then you have a parent going, they're not supposed to go up the slide.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always butted head with those parents. But if I think about the children, right, if you look at the children and so they're getting this messaging right away that goes against their gut, and that carries on through life, right? And then now for me, working with families, they might think they should do something a certain way because of what it's telling them inside, but there's been so many layers of the shoulds on top of that, that they've lost that authentic intuition. And that's what gets me going because...
So Jen, can you pare that down to something really concise? How would you say that in 5 words or less?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I mean, my words are not 5 words or less. I wrote, having an authentic voice in your life will give you the authentic life you want.
Will give you what if you want?
The authentic life you want.
Ah, okay, say it again.
Having an authentic voice in your life will give you the authentic life you want.
Okay. So I think you can, even just what you just said, I think you can pare it down a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so having your authentic voice will give you the life you want. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what you wrote. I'm just trying to pare it down so that you can put it in your back pocket, right?
Having an authentic voice will give you the life you want. Yes.
Yeah, how's that feel?
It feels It's a sign. No, it's basically the same thing. It's just I want to connect it. I want to connect the, like, dig down deep. Get rid of all the layers of the onion. Get rid of all the layers of what you read and what was told because it's the right thing to do, and go back to, like, you know what
okay,
to
so
do.
Okay, so I want to throw something out there, and you tell me how this feels to you. What if your point of view is trust your gut first?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I wrote that
You don't have to use that, right? But my point is that your point of view is not your dissertation.
Mm-hmm.
You can go on and on and on and on about how you feel about your point of view, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I said one of my points of view is image matters, that's two words. And I could tell you 10,000 things about why I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't change the point of view. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To get you really clear.
Yeah.
So,
Heather, can I ask a question on that?
Yeah.
When, because you did this with me yesterday, and I know how you just did it with her, and obviously it's a great talent of yours, I tend to be way too wordy,
mm-hmm.
and I think that comes from my training of writing so many police reports where you had to, every single thing had to be written down,
mm-hmm.
where I had to make, like what you said, the change in careers, where now I am doing something different. And just like what Jen was saying, you know, she said maybe a few more words, being, you know, her authentic voice will give you the life you want. She may have had a few more words in there, and you took a few words out, and it means the same thing.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a gift. And that's a gift I want.
Well, you can have it. You can have it. You just have to practice.
Exactly.
And it's something, you know, it's something that I always work on, and I'm not perfect at it, but it makes it, you know, who said it? Was it Abraham Lincoln? I don't remember who said it. I would have written you a shorter letter, but I didn't have time, right?
Mm.
It's about editing.
Mm.
I don't know if that's who said
right.
it or not, but it makes it more
matters.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Image matters. Those two words are huge. In my
right, but
mind,
you know what?
Those two words mean so much to me and trigger so much of the block of 5, 10, 15. You know what I mean? So you just, like, did a full circle with me today.
Oh, good. But one thing I want to point out about that is that's not unique, right? How many other people believe that? Millions.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's my point. It doesn't – that it's not a unique point of view, but my
it's
feeling about it and – my experience about it is unique to me.
Well,
and the same is true for you.
The messenger. It's the same message, but it's the messenger.
Exactly. So that's why I'm saying the exciting thing is that you can expound on your point of view and tell your story. That's why I do those together. You can tell your story about it, why you believe that, why it's important to share that message because of your belief system. But if you can boil it down, the point of view, to something very concise.
Mm.
It's short, concise, and to the point.
Yeah, so exactly. Would you say, and I also like the word, of course, I want you to have it to be your words, but I like the word for you, gut,
mm-hmm.
because you are a health coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
That's
has sort of that double entendre of, like, the gut always knows.
Right, right. Trust your gut.
And
first.
It really is true. It really is true.
Well, it really is true. I mean, it is true.
But you know what else? I think the piece that needs to be in there, though, is it's not just that your gut always knows, but the piece that I took away from you as being important as well is about happiness. So
mm-hmm.
you might say something about your gut is the path to happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that's resonates with you or not?
Brilliant.
Yeah, no, I think you know, yes, certainly happiness is a big piece, but it's also, it's more just your, I think people are so caught up in like, I truly believe that people know what to do. They just get lost. So mm-hmm. kind of learning how to be, whatever that means for them.
So a great point of view for you is you know what to do.
Yeah. Okay. And when do you use these point of views, though? Is it just to sit with you, or do you? When do you use them, Heather, when you're speaking?
You know, it's really, when I was, you know, giving a little talk before we had the Q&A, it really is in everything. You can use it just for yourself, like this is my mm-hmm. unique point of view. But the clearer you are on it, it is the foundation for your platform. Okay. It's your brand stand. It really is. Like you could go out, like that's that whole thing of having that little piece of anger or frustration, and you definitely have it. I can mm-hmm. hear it every time you talk about this.
Yeah.
And that's what's exciting about your brand. Because you want something better for your audience.
Yes.
Right? And that's what the point of view is about. When you're out there and you're saying, listen, you already know. You know the path. Your gut knows the path. If you want a better life, if you want a happier marriage, if you want healthier kids, if you want to have more authenticity, you know what to do. I believe that I believe that I believe that mm-hmm. everything that you need to know is already within you, right? Mm-hmm. How powerful is that?
It's very powerful. And in fact, I said that to someone on the phone this morning who is a possible client for me. Mm-hmm. We've been talking for a little while. And she said, and I said, you know, and she kind of paused and she said, but you're going to help me, right? Because I think that it was almost too, like, it's all within her, which I know it is, but she's kind of going, but I don't even know how to uncover it, you know? And I was like, of course, you know, that would be, you know.
Okay, so let me give you the second golden ticket, which
yeah.
is what you just said, which is how do I use my point of view? And that is like when you're selling, because mm-hmm. I believe that you already know. I know that you know. I know that you feel it in your gut. But there is a huge difference between knowing and doing. And we all need a helping hand. Hello, I'm your bridge. I'm here, baby.
Here.
Right.
Okay, we're with you.
mm-hmm. Do you see how that works?
Oh, yeah. Yep, yep.
So how do you transition that right there, Heather, into
yep.
a sale?
Well, just what I just did, right? So you're in pain, right? You want to change. So let's use Jen's client or potential client.
Mm-hmm.
She wants a change. She's unhappy about her health or her happiness or whatever it is that she
yes,
was talking
her happiness.
To you about.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Her happiness. And you're there with her, right? I feel it. You know, I know that you're really unhappy. How long has it been like that? Yeah, and what's that like? What's that costing you? Right, so there's a whole sales process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what I believe? I believe that it's already inside of you. But you know what else I know? If you could do it on your own, you would have done it already.
That's exactly what I said to her.
There you go.
I exactly said that to her.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's how you make the sale. And then the paint the promise, right? So what's nirvana? What's on the other side of that pain? And how are you positioning yourself as the answer to that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you asking me?
So can I,
no,
can
I'm just
I
saying
ask?
That's,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
okay.
the, you know,
yeah,
can
that's
I
the anatomy of a sales conversation.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But do you see how your point of view can, used in all of these ways?
Yeah.
So anytime that you get up and do a video or
mm-hmm.
you talk in a talk or you write an email, you know, you could hang up from this phone call right now and write a blog post about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's how you use it. And that's how you start to differentiate yourself.
Right. And it is truly, you know, when I think about it, I think because there's so much messaging around as we are entrepreneurs around building your business, similar to taking this class. There's so much information out there that you can Google and research and work with different coaches and read different blogs. And it's like there's so much noise around it. And when you go, but it is overwhelming. And when you go back to truly your gut, like listen to your gut, right? What is authentically your messaging? And almost similar to when we spoke on the blab, it was very like, you know what to do. You know that drinking water is good for you. You know that eating, this is not new information. Mm-hmm. And how to listen to that and stop listening to the noise around you.
Mm-hmm.
Is very powerful, and giving people the permission to do so and holding that space for them to do so is like,
right.
I sometimes take it for granted.
Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you something else. You just said something that is another mm-hmm. way to use your point of view, which is you just outlined a product you could make. How do I get this time and space to hear my gut? Okay, here are 10 modules. The first module to listening to your gut is blank. The second module to listening to your gut is blank. So that's another way. Do you see how it all aligns?
Mm-hmm.
I know that you know this. I know you know to drink water. Here is a 4-part boot camp to get you in touch with your gut. So next time you're blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm not saying you should go do that, but I'm just saying that's another way to use your point of view.
Yeah, okay.
Make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. It just... Yeah, totally makes sense.
But I think that what you said is, you know, your gut already knows. And another part of your point of view might be, we all need help. You mm-hmm. can't do it alone. That might be a point of view of yours. You may know, your gut may know, but you can't do it alone.
Mm-hmm. Very much so, yes.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's great to have... I don't know anybody that has one main point of view, but I think it is good if you can get one that is stronger than the others. That kind of is your grand brand stand. for me, it's if you have your voice, you have everything you need.
Mm-hmm.
That's mine, because if I believe that, and even Image Matters is a sub theme of that, because if you have your voice and you know how to express yourself through your image.
Mm-hmm.
You have a sense of it. So it's all connected. So
right.
I hope that was
right.
helpful.
Very helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome. Trish, did you have a question?
Yes. And Jen, that was, thank you for going first, because that helped me a lot too.
Oh, good. Thanks.
With certain things. I wanted to go back to what you were saying is blocking out, going back to your childhood, blocking out the 5 years, 10 years, whatnot. I'm a true, true believer that what happens in our childhood, if we do not take care of it in our childhood, it comes back and haunts us.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I have lived this. I will share a quick story with you, which I'm so passionate about, and I have done several little seminars or workshops with it, and it doesn't matter if the person is 3 years old or 50 years old. It is how to make an introduction
mm-hmm.
and a proper introduction. And when you said break down your life in 5 to 10 years, it triggered me. Because when I was 4 years old, my father's a professional athlete. He told me to go over and introduce myself to a bunch of NFL players that I did not know, introduce myself and give them sugar. Now today, I don't have a daughter, but even a son, I would never tell that my child to go give somebody sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I did what he wanted me to do, but I did not do it correctly. He took me in the back room and he beat the crap out of me. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. I was black and blue because I did not introduce myself properly. An introduction to me has literally changed my world. And in between my surgeries, September 13th, 2013, I was in a near-fatal car accident. I woke up, and my dad was there. I was on my way to a conference to learn how to make closure with people in your life, and I knew I had to make closure with him.
But before I did, and he showed up, I wanted to thank him for two things in my life that he gave me. One was marrying the most amazing woman he could have ever found to be my mother. And the second was beating me at 4 years old, which he denied. And I said, I need you to know something. That was not the proper way of doing things, and I understand you didn't have the tools back then. You didn't know how to do that. But the way you told me how I'm supposed to introduce myself has already set myself away from other people. And giving a firm handshake, looking them in the eye, says so much. And so when I go back to my blocks of years, for some reason I've blocked out so much of my childhood. And I don't know why. Wow. However, that four-year-old experience is mm-hmm. my first childhood memory.
Wow.
And so when I do, you know, I've gone into the schools and, you know, doing talks here with Girl Scouts or Boy Scouts or Rotary Clubs, you know, it doesn't, whatever the audience may be, I really truly start with an introduction.
So, Trish, let me ask you a question. I'm sorry to interrupt you because I think this might be helpful for you. If you have, I mean, God bless you. You're such a fighter. And, I mean, Jen, really, can you believe what a woman she is?
Yeah, amazing.
It's an amazing woman. So, and I know you have so much to give and so much to share and this enormous heart. I can't even believe it. And I want to help you really focus that so that you can be of service in the way you want to be. And I think focusing on what is your, if you think about that story in the threads of your life, what do you believe now because that happened about introductions and how someone
should... Oh, my gosh. It has changed.
So, like, but what is the belief that you should do something or you shouldn't do something? What is your belief about that?
Well, my belief is I developed a program about it, and
I named it ADMO. Okay, but what's your belief about it? Not the program. What's your belief about that?
My belief about it is approach, on how you approach whatever is at hand, situation is at hand, whatever situation you're in, mm-hmm. your approach. And most, you know, how you approach a situation, I have learned to just introduce myself. Hi, I'm Trish. How are you?
Okay, so what do you believe about that?
It could be as easy as that.
Why is that important? Why is it important?
Because if I'm talking to somebody or giving somebody my time or they're talking to me, I would like to know their name so I can identify them and they can identify who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's kind of a personal... You know, I think when you shake somebody's hand, just mm-hmm. that gesture alone can tell mm-hmm. you so much about who they are.
Okay.
Without
and
judgment,
why is that,
it's just observation.
And why is that important?
Because I believe when, I'll give an example, if a man goes to shake my hand, mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be a worm, I call it. And to me that shows not very confident.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
And I have taught my boys basically what my dad taught me, however, without the beating, is you know somebody, or if you don't know somebody, you introduce yourself to somebody you don't know every day, and you look them in the eye, and you make it authentic and genuine.
And why is that important?
Because that leaves... That's your first impression right there.
And why is that important?
Because it's unique and not too many people do it.
Okay, and why is that important?
It sets you aside from everybody else.
And why is that important? Why do you want to be set aside from everyone else?
Well, that will start some of the examples you said of... you know, there's so many messages. We've heard them all over and over and over, but it's the messenger that's going to make the difference. And
okay.
I want to be the messenger of the difference.
You want to be the messenger. Okay, so what do you believe about introductions? What do you believe about them? Or about connection?
Well,
because I'm pushing you because I want you to get a clear point of view.
Sure. No, this is good. I believe once you introduce yourself to somebody,
yep,
it breaks the ice and it makes it a comfortable atmosphere. And coming from a law enforcement background, I've always wanted to give somebody a safe environment and comfortable environment for them to open up to me. Because
So
they don't have that.
Would it be fair to say that you believe that there's value in creating a safe, something about creating a safe, comfortable space, making someone
Absolutely.
Else feel comfortable.
Can I ask a question about that, though?
Yes.
Okay. And so when you're talking about teaching your children to introduce themselves in a polite, friendly, and just the structure around it, like making eye contact and saying hello in a way that you say is creating a nice relationship. And if I think back to the story you shared about being a little girl and being told to go over to a space that probably, maybe going back to what I was talking about, like your gut was probably saying, I don't want to go over to these people and give them sugar, and that was a boundary. That crossed a boundary for you, whether you could articulate that or not. So is it teaching people to introduce themselves in a way that feels authentic to their space? Because I understand what you're saying. It's like, oh, go give Aunt Meg a hug because you think it's the right thing to do. But what if that kid doesn't want to give Aunt Meg a hug?
So if I can answer that, because it's kind of a thing now. Well, now I have two teenage boys, right? And
yeah.
A day does not go by, and there's no exaggeration, that I do not get some type of communication from my older son, somebody telling me, do you want to know what your son did today? Across the field, he saw me, dropped his baseball bag, came over, hi, Mr. Smith, how are you? Give me a big hug.
Mm-hmm.
He's very comfortable doing that because it's learned behavior from me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He sees me doing that, and I have taught them it is very important to look in someone's eye. And when you talk, even ordering food, it could be as simple as ordering food at a restaurant. I don't order my kids' dinner. You look at that person and you tell them, use your voice.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Trish.
What do you need?
Why is that important to you? What do you believe about that? Why is it important to look someone in the eye?
To me, it's very authentic, it's real, and it shows a lot of confidence.
Mm. Okay. So I want you to think about, this is some homework for you, I believe, right? My point of view about the world is it's looking someone in the eye says what, right? Like image matters. Money is the root of all evil. Confidence, there needs to be more love in the world. Connection is the most important thing. Maybe that's something along that lines for you. So that you break it down into an axiom. So I understand, like I was saying to Jen, she could write a book about what she feels about trusting your gut and being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you could write a book and create 10 business models around your experiences and you have a program about how to introduce yourself, but I'm wanting you to get down to the kernel of what you believe.
Well, I think, too, when someone looks at you in the eye, again, I'm going back from my own personal experience, is when you introduce yourself and they don't look you in the eye, why? Like, why do they not believe in themselves so much, or they're hiding something, or...
So would you say your belief is we all need to be authentic? It's important to be authentic?
Absolutely. However, if someone doesn't feel authentic by looking them in the eye, to me, I would never even think of not looking somebody in the eye, but that was embedded in me at age 4.
Right. So it's not, the point of view is not about whether or not you look someone in the eye. It's about your belief about that.
Right.
What does that mean? What does that mean to you at a deeper level?
I believe when someone looks at you in the eye, it's a sincere introduction.
And why is that important?
Because that introduction is going to tell me or show me where that possible relationship or new introduction can lead me.
Okay, so maybe for you, and you, I'm asking you, I'm not telling you, I'm asking you to check in with you how it resonates with you. Maybe a point of view for you is that first impressions are critical.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate with
and
you?
Absolutely, and that also resonates going back to the five block is because of my, you know, you shared the story of you having being 5'7", having pimples.
Mm-hmm.
And me at age 10 in fourth grade getting my period, I had boobs and I had pimples, and I wasn't invited. And then, you know, being 265 pounds and losing 140 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So first impressions is that judgment. People judge automatically, and it drives me crazy.
Perfect. Yay! Oh, I'm so glad you said that.
We all have a
problem. Now you're starting to get to down to the belief, right?
Yeah, it drives me.
Okay, so your belief has something to do, your point of view has to do with judgment and first impressions. First impressions matter.
Yes.
Or people judge on people judge harshly on physicality, whatever that is. I want you, that's what I want you to explore, because now you're starting to really talk about how you feel about it, not just talking about stories, but how you feel. Did you hear the difference, Jen?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, there's a big difference there because, again, it's not just the because I said so, it's the proper thing to do. It's like, but why?
Yes.
Like, why is that important? So
exactly.
That's a very, because there's the difference between the shoulds and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, Trish, does that make it clearer for you about the point of view?
The first impression matters, yes. Because of the people, our society judges immediately.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So I think you might even work on it a little bit more about that, but first impressions are critical. That's a very powerful point of view, and you could, again, write a book about it, make 20 programs about it. It could be about safety, like you're an ex-cop. It could be about safety. You could do a whole program about first impressions and how to keep yourself safe. You could do a whole thing about first impressions and body image. You could do a whole thing about first impressions and relationships, right? I mean, you could do anything
right
around your belief about first impressions, but one of your points of view is that first impressions are absolutely critical.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was thinking that too, Heather, because when she was talking about it, when you were talking about Trish, it's almost like how your stance is, how you behave, and I,
well,
you know, I have kids who are great with adults, who are make eye contact, who have great handshakes, and I get a lot of people going, "Oh my God, your kids are so great with adults," and I see the differences. But when I think about it as a woman and raising a daughter, like I want her to be badass in those situations. I want her to have a grounding power and make the eye contact and say, "I see you." Like because
exactly.
It's almost like having that strength in that interaction as a female and like, excuse my language, like a don't fuck with me attitude, right? So I'm not going to be a victim. And then raising sons, because I have a son too, and him being able to acknowledge that with people and have that presence in a way that's non-threatening.
And there's been studies done that, and I've been assaulted. I have been attacked. I've been assaulted, and not even and that's humiliating. It's humiliating to say. Somebody asked me last night, "How on earth could you allow someone to break into your home and rape you as a cop?" And I said, "I'm human."
Yeah.
Right.
So
I'm human. It unfortunately it happened.
Yep.
And when the studies I did and working sexual assault for so long and child abuse, when kids look somebody in the eye or women look somebody in the eye that's coming towards them, it's almost like a power thing, like, dude, don't mess with me. I see mm-hmm. you. Don't mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
And those mm-hmm. women are least, there's a lesser chance of that woman being attacked or being violated than someone that has their head down, texting, not aware of their surroundings.
Absolutely.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, cool. So I think that you guys, was this helpful to kind of home in on that a little bit more?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very.
Because I just want you to see, you could both, because I love the way that you guys like to help each other out, and you probably could have like a four-hour discussion about each of your points of view. And that's awesome, because it gives you content. It gives you content for your marketing, for your blogging, for your emails, for your talks, for your videos. Once you understand what that platform is, you're golden.
Mm-hmm. So do you believe, just so I can narrow this down, your point of view, are you saying, is basically your platform?
It's definitely a big part of it, yes.
Okay.
It's a foundational piece.
Okay, it's a foundational piece of your platform. Okay.
And the way that I usually teach it is that you have one main point of view, which is for right now, we'll say that yours is first impressions are critical, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have 3 to 5 themes that are underneath that, that relate to that, that are also part of your platform. So for me, I could say, when you have your voice, you have everything you need to succeed. And another point of view or a theme of that might be image matters, but it's related to voice because it's about expression. Or performance mm-hmm. trumps content, whatever, or content trumps performance. But they're related to the voice for me, in my head.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, ladies, I hope that was helpful. And I just want to say there is a lot of content. This is a content-driven course, and you have the templates. I don't expect that you're going to have all of this done by the end of the, you know, like, I don't think you're going to have your story done by tomorrow. If you do, kudos to you. That's fantastic. But I don't want you to feel bad if you don't have it all done, because it's really more about getting you the content. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay, was it helpful?
It was.
Yeah.
Can, I don't know if I missed an email, but can Jen and I exchange info?
She did send us an email, so I'll email you. I have it.
Oh, you have it? Okay. I must have missed it. I apologize.
Yeah.
No problem. Okay, ladies, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.